All right, so we're going to start by reading. We can read it here off the screen to make it easier. But please stand with me if you're able to. I have it displayed here on the screen. We're going to read this to open in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, and then we're going to teach through Matthew chapter 1. Let's go ahead and read this. We can read it together. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory." Please pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you again for your holy word, Lord. Thank you for passages like this that Paul wrote to Timothy, that yes, this thing that we call here on earth Christmas, while that word is not described by name in the Bible, in the New Testament, Lord, someone like Paul writes about it. And he says, great is the mystery of godliness. And it's without controversy. There is controversy around this. And you were manifested in the flesh when you left heaven and you put on a body of flesh like how we have, as John wrote. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so, Lord, we gather here in your church today, us as born-again Christians, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. And we ask, Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, pour out your Spirit upon us mightily from heaven above. Lord, open up your word for our understanding. And help us, Lord, to see this mystery. That all of us here, we typically grow up hearing about Christmas, but help us to see this in simplicity of what you share in the scriptures, Lord. Encourage and minister to our hearts, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would, please. So in today's world, one of the things you and I might find is that this whole thing of the Christmas story, it gets confusing, right? Kind of convoluted. Gets twisted out of shape. Paul writes, again, as we open in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." And his first point in this, God was manifested in the flesh. That, my friends, is what you and I call Christmas. So for those of us that gather with friends and family, and you might have relatives that say things like this to you, well, Christmas is not in the Bible. Have you ever talked to anybody? They might claim something like that. Right? That can happen. If you do a search, actually, for that word, Christmas, in the Thomas Nelson New King James Version Bible that we teach out of here in English, you won't find that word either. But was it described? Was it mentioned in the New Testament outside of the Gospels? Yes. Paul is one. He writes again in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh." It's a mystery. Now, I say that because we almost have to reverse engineer what happens in our brains. Because we grow up, whether here, aquí, or somewhere else, and we all hear about Christmas, right? From the time you're little. And we typically hear about Christmas time, and the story gets hijacked. We think of, instead of Jesus Christ and this great mystery of godliness, we think of maybe a guy with a big white beard wearing red and white. Here's how ubiquitous, how overall this is. Who is that character? Santa Claus. So instead of Jesus Christ, the story gets hijacked away from this controversial mystery that Jesus was birthed here into this earth, and we focus on maybe Santa Claus. All of us know that. You could even quote the name. Or we'll watch cartoons. I even did as a kid, and we love praying for, looking for a white Christmas where it snows. Why? So we can go outside and make a snowman. If you do that. Or my kids, they like doing snowball fights, especially when I'm the target. We're the target as parents. And we might make a snowman, and we watch movies, and Christmas time for some kids is all about which character that's illustrated by a snowman?
Frosty.
Frosty the snowman, right? So this whole message, a Christmas story, as simple as it is, it gets confused, it gets mixed up, it gets convoluted. Whereas Paul writes about it as, hey, it's a controversial thing. It's a mysterious thing. And let's look into this. It is simple. But God was manifested in the flesh. So instead of Christmas time being about Santa Claus, Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. See how ubiquitous this is? You know what this guy studied marketing to? You know what that is? That's marketing. So they subtly put these messages in to sort of hijack the attention and the focus away from the fact that there was a miraculous virgin birth, that God was manifested in the flesh. Or as John writes in John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, Messiah, left heaven, put on a body of flesh like you and I. But in today's world, it's easy for us to forget, as we say, the reason for the season. Let's keep, as we say, Christ in Christmas. Let's not, you know, cross him out, Xmas. And let's not just say, instead of Merry Christmas, I don't want to offend anybody. Let's say Happy Holidays. Well, I would rather offend people and honor my God. Okay, so Christmas, yes, you won't find that word Christmas in the Bible. Because that's argued in apologetics. Okay, show me where that word is. It's not, unless you put it in there. But outside of the Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you do find it as Paul writes about it. And again, we're going to look at this. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Remember, even as we sang a song, remember how, again, Christmas time, many kids, including our kids, you're like, okay, let's look on Amazon. Let's look for these presents. Okay. Right. Look at all these gifts. I remember even as a kid, I was just talking to my wife, Susan. Oh, honey, we got to, you know, for us, you get older. Any of you guys get like this? You get older, like the whole gift-giving thing. It's yeah. It's not as big of a deal anymore. But remember, though, when you're a kid, right? And, yeah, it is like a big deal. But that could even hijack the focus away from God, where God the Father gave you the most precious gift. And what is that? His only begotten Son, Jesus Messiah. Let's not forget that, too. I want to put that in there. So as the world markets to you, I want to give you God's word and God's principles. Let's start reading here in Matthew chapter 1 in verse 18. Let's discover some of this controversial, mysterious thing that you and I call Christmas. Matthew 1 verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." So betrothed. She was engaged to be married. And it says, before they came together. All right. I'm not going to show you on a slide, but Joseph and Mary did not have physical relations. Not yet. Not before Jesus was born. And it says here, quote, "She was found with child of the Holy Spirit." All right. We got a bunch of mommies here. Okay, who here is a mommy? Now, you know how it was when you first started to feel it. We have like another one online. You remember how it was when you first started to feel the baby inside, the kicking, and you're like, oh, little indicators. Before technology, right? Today, we can go to the doctor. They put that cold gel on this little instrument, and they stick it on your tummy, and they rub around. I don't know this, of course, but I've seen that happen with my wife and others. What do you call that instrument to look inside? Sonogram. And you could hear the little heartbeat. So things get to be real. But back then, she was prego. She was showing. She had a baby bump. Maybe about third trimester-ish starting. Okay, it's different for every person. Don't know how big that baby boy Jesus was. But she was starting to show. She was found, it says, with child of the Holy Spirit. You might say her baby bump was showing. Okay, so somewhere around the third trimester, 6 months-ish into this time. And then notice this in verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So, folks, in this great mystery of godliness, as Paul wrote, without controversy. Folks, one of the controversies about Jesus and his birth and his upbringing is the fact that he had to tell people, I don't have an earthly dad. And the fact that he probably had the other kids and other adults say what? Imagine growing up with that thought. You and I have that put in our thoughts today, or even if you watch Star Wars, you hear of, you know, there was a kid, I won't even say his name, that the writers hijacked that story from the Bible. Someone had a virgin birth. Where'd they get that from? They got that from the Bible. They hijacked that away from Jesus. But the very first one that it happened to and with was Jesus and Mary. Imagine this controversy that you, being Joseph, or you being Mary, you had to tell people, yes, yes, I know Jesus doesn't look like Joseph. I know they don't share DNA. Maybe Joseph had a bigger nose. Maybe Jesus had a wider nose. They go, Mary, you sure that's Joseph's kid? Maybe Joseph was really dark-skinned and Jesus was a little lighter-skinned, or vice versa. Or maybe Jesus had curly hair and Joseph had totally straight hair. We don't know. But that would have been a controversial thing. A lot of times you could tell, right, when you look at the father and you look at the child, you can tell, right? Or you see the mom and the daughter or the kid, you can tell. But think about this too. What they had to endure, the scandal, right? The controversy. And Paul writes again, great is the mystery of godliness. This is just real stuff. So I'm here to tell you today, as we look at this story of the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, leaving heaven, putting on a body of flesh, living amongst us. It typically we look at it as just a sanitized picture of Christmas, right? See this beautiful, I like this thing. Where is it again? See this beautiful picture of the nativity scene. It looks so holy and sanitized. Right? You can't imagine anybody with dirty clothes there. But you know, it would have been a messed up scene. That's just reality. And so we kind of sanitize Christmas. That's just how we are. But notice this again. That because Jesus didn't have Joseph as an earthly father, Joseph knowing, look who says it here in verse 19. Joseph, her husband, being a just man. So what does that mean? In the original language, it's also giving you an indication that Joseph would have lived life according to God's laws, according to what we call Torah. He was a God-fearing man. He would have been a good man going to synagogue. He would have discussed scripture. They would have looked for and waited for Messiah to come. So he's a just man. He's righteous according to the law. That's what God's telling us. So he's living according to God's word. And then the next thing we're told, because he's a man that lives according to God's word, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Now, what does that mean? Scandalous. He wanted to divorce her. Okay, I thought they're not married yet. Yes. But at that time, when you were engaged, it was good enough as being married. So he wanted to not, I mean, think about this. He was a just man, so he lived according to the Bible. But yet, in the Bible, if you're taking notes, in the Bible, in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, at that time, we don't do this today. Okay, Leviticus 20, verse 10. Some of you guys know, by the way. According to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, the man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, listen, the adulterer and the adulteress, that would have been Mary, shall surely be put to death. So we're told he's a just man. He lives according to God's word. And yet, Leviticus 20, verse 10, she got to be killed. What do you do? Without controversy. That's controversy, right? So sometimes we sanitize the Christmas story. Joseph had to live during that time when he wanted to honor God. He wanted to live according to the Bible. That's what we want to do here too, right? Anybody else want that? I want that. I know you want that. That's why you're here. But yet, according to things at that time, that would have meant in Leviticus 20, verse 10, that you would kill, really stone to death, not just Mary, but who's the dad? They didn't know at that time, right? Scandalous. Controversy. And this is the backdrop of your Messiah, your Savior and Lord. So maybe I'm here to tell you that if you think, oh, I grew up with a messed up life, or my life's tough, or God, you don't understand. You know the sin I've been in. You don't know how people talk about me. Oh yeah, Jesus understands. Do you think he understands? I know he does. I know he understands. God, you don't know the controversy that surrounds my life. Oh, Jesus understands that. Certainly Joseph and Mary had to endure that too. So maybe it's a good reminder that no matter what your background, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, not only does Jesus understand, he wants you to know and to understand that he loves you, that he wants to minister to you. And take whatever life you've got, give your life to him. Let's continue on though. So this is a great and a mysterious thing. This great mystery of godliness, as Paul wrote, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Paul understood, and certainly the people back then, they understood, hey, Joseph, being a just man, he wanted to live according to God's word, but according to God's word, he had to put Mary out publicly to be stoned to death. Like, I'm sorry, babe, I love you, but what are we doing later today, Joseph? Well, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't know what you're doing, but you're going to have kind of a rocky life right now. So he didn't want to do that. This is what we're told here. He's a just man, but not wanting to make her a public example. Notice what he wanted to do. Was minded to put her away, and it says, secretly. So folks, the Christmas story begins with great controversy. Whether or not you knew that, you need to know this. Joseph was wanting to divorce Mary and to divorce her secretly. But we're not told that it was for, let's say, personal, selfish reasons. He probably honestly loved her. I mean, think about it. They supposedly were teenagers, perhaps, at that time, or at least maybe Mary. That would be a tough call, right? So I just praise God that he didn't go through with that. So what happens? Notice a couple things here. Let's continue on in the story. Verse 20, let's see how this thing develops. This controversial, mysterious thing that we call Christmas. Verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. What? Say what? More controversy, right? So this Christmas story, controversy, let's continue. Let's read verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Folks, that's the purpose, that's the reason, that's the why behind why Jesus had to leave heaven and come be birthed into this earth. It was to save people from their sins. And because of the fact that we, because of the sin from Adam and Eve, who, yes, were real people that lived, every single human being is born a sinner. Whether or not you knew that, you need to know this. We're born into this earth, this fallen planet, and into a life of sin. This is why as parents, we don't have to teach our kids how to lie, how to steal, how to not tell the truth. It's part of that sin nature. No, they didn't learn it from mommy. They didn't learn it from daddy. They didn't learn it even from others. It's from Adam and Eve. Okay, one man, sin entered in through Adam and Eve. So every human being was born a sinner. That's our problem. That's our challenge. So to bypass that sin nature, Jesus had to leave heaven and come be birthed into this earth through a virgin. He bypassed what you and I have as sin nature. So he's born without sin and then lived his life without sin so he could be a perfect sin sacrifice upon the cross. But again, that's a controversial thing, isn't it? Controversy. So notice a couple things here. The Christmas story is surrounded with prophecy. This is the prophecy of the virgin birth. And if you're taking notes, I think we may have mentioned this morning with some of the kids. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Now, this was given some 600, 700-ish years before Jesus was birthed. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. There's going to be a virgin birth. That was to be a sign. That was a prophecy. So going back to verses 20 and 21, now imagine yourself being Joseph. I love doing this with Bible study. Like kind of infuse yourself into the story. Put on the shoes, so to speak, or the sandals of someone like Joseph. You got this controversy now. You're like all excited. Yes, mom and dad arranged a marriage. Okay, I'm going to be married. Her name's Mary. She's still a kid. We got to wait a little bit. She comes back from a long away vacation, about 6 months, seeing a relative, right? What's her name? You remember her name? Elizabeth. Wow. Just like the angel told Mary that her relative Elizabeth is also pregnant. She goes to see Elizabeth away from home about 6 months. Put the pieces of the puzzle together in your mind as a human being, like Joseph and everybody else in society. She comes back later on, Mary does, about 6 months later or so, she's starting to show. But Joseph, I promise you, I didn't cheat on you. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you see the reality of that. It sounds scandalous, doesn't it? And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. So if you could put yourself in the shoes of someone like Joseph, you could comprehend at least the fact that that sounded like a way out there wacky story, right? I promise you, I'm still a virgin. Like you look at the belly like, uh-huh. And then imagine mom and dad, right, later on seeing Mary. Mary? Do we need to talk, right? But I saw an angel. Controversy, right? So we're told a couple things here, a bunch of things, actually eight things. The angel reveals now eight things to Joseph here. First of all, he calls Joseph by his name. Joseph. Lovely. That certainly would have gotten his attention. Just like if an angel appears to you and declares your name. He also mentions his prophetic lineage, son of David. That's important. Joseph had to be a son of David. It's important because the Messiah had to come through which family line? David. It had to be through David. So Jesus was to be a son of David, but Jesus had to be birthed into that lineage, but Mary wasn't the one. It was to be through Joseph. So he's addressing him by this messianic prophetic lineage, son of David. So he had to take him on as his own son so that Jesus could be considered a son of David. It's like, hey, I know what you're scheming, Joe. I know what your plans are. This is what we're told. He was like scheming. That's what we say today. He's planning. He had it in his mind that he was just going to divorce her privately, basically, secretly. Why he was scheming these things. So he also tells Joseph, do not be afraid. Ha 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 ha. Friends, what do you think you know about Joseph if the angel has to say, do not be afraid? What do you think you know about Joseph? He's afraid. Now, you're Joseph. Even the gals, let's pretend you're Joseph. Who here would be afraid? I would be afraid. Okay? One guy's telling the truth. Okay, couple. We all would be, right? So the angel's telling him, do not be afraid. This lets you know also he's probably afraid, probably freaking out like you and I would be. It's like, I'm analytical. I'd be sitting there weighing out all the strategies. Okay, what do I do? If I honor God according to his word, it says that she's got to be publicly stoned. Leviticus 20, verse 10. Oh, man. And not just the girl, but the guy, too. So where's the guy? Oh, It's God. How can you stone God to death? Right? Sure, Mary. So how do you go through with that? Right? So I want to honor God and his word, but I can't do that. How do I do that? So he's sitting there scheming on these things. And while he was thinking that, the angel appears to him to tell him these things. Notice also, and not just do not be afraid, he says, take to you Mary, your wife. The angel reminds Joseph that Mary is, quote, your wife. No, she's your wife. Stay married, okay? She's your wife. And he says, take Mary as your wife. You have to choose, Joseph. Isn't that interesting how God won't force us? Right? I know when he messes with your will, it feels like sometimes he's forcing you. But it's still got to be your choice. You have to take God's will even. So Joseph had to take Mary as his wife. And notice what else he's told. This is, again, a great controversial thing. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Whoa. Now, who would be freaking out at that statement? I would really be freaking out. I'd be like, come again? Tell me again? I need some time. Give me some time to process this. Now, keep in mind, again, we grow up with the story. But at that time, nobody ever heard of anybody born through a virgin. And especially if you're Joe, you're Joseph, imagine it's like, that's my wife? What? Okay, so the baby bump, the baby within her, Joe, it's not from a dude, it's not from a guy, it's from the Holy Spirit. Wow. Help me to process this, God. So the baby within her is from God. And notice, okay, again, who are the mommies in the room? Who are the mommies? So, remember when you went, and in our day and age, most of us, I'm not sure your time, but in current years, when you go and they do the sonogram and you start to hear the heartbeat, and especially it got really real for us too, where you see that, oh, look at that little thing. It's going to be a boy, right? With technology. So at that time, you couldn't see inside. Today, with today's technology, you can hear the heartbeat. And by the way, for people that are considering, should I keep the baby or not? One of the things that supposedly, reportedly, helps the mom to stay with the baby and be a mom, to accept the baby, is hearing the heartbeat. Okay. According to statistics and surveys. So this is where it gets real for Joe, with the technology of his time. You and I don't have angels telling us, we have somebody else telling us, right? Notice, she will bring forth a son. She'll bring forth a son. So at this point, you could imagine this is where it got really real for Joseph. Wait, I'm going to be a dad? She's going to bring forth a son. Don't be afraid. You have to take Mary to you as your wife. You're going to have a son. Today, in our technology, the sonogram, the heartbeat, the printout, we have that technology today. Who here remembers the printout? Okay. And you sit there, I mean, you see, like, I'm being posted on Facebook. Well, I'm going to print out and put it on the refrigerator. I'm going to put it everywhere. I'm going to sit there and, you know, you go crazy with it. And then I made this little graphic where I point this little arrow. Look at that little thing. It's a boy. So you couldn't do that at that time. But it got really real for Joe, for Joseph, when he was told, you're going to have a son. So this is where it got personal for him. I'm going to be a dad, and I'm going to have a boy. I want you to know that, what the angel is trying to get him to do, to process this controversial thing. And notice, not only this is what Mary would do, but Joe, this is what you must do. You shall call his name Jesus. Today, that's the same name as like my son's name, Joshua, Yeshua. He will save his people from their sins. So, Joe, you're going to have to call his name. The dad had to name the son. Just like with their relative. Remember John the Baptist? Remember dad? He couldn't speak. He couldn't speak. Give me a tablet. And he writes the name, right? That he had to be the one to name the child. And then God let him speak. Notice it says again, he will save his people from their sins. So folks, this is what the Christmas story is all about. It's basically about the fact that Jesus left heaven, was birthed into this earth, and because he had to be birthed here without that stain of sin, he was birthed through a virgin. But yet, like Paul writes, it is controversial. Understand this, that as you and I grow up with this in our culture and society, it might be a little easier for you to accept because you've heard about this before. But if you're sharing with someone who never heard of the name Jesus, or who didn't grow up in the culture and society like you and I did, perhaps, it might be a little tough for them to accept. Wait a second. He was born through a virgin. That's controversial. Wait, how can you prove that? I can't. I don't have proof. And so this is some of the reasons why it might be a little tough to tell and to share this with people. But the Christmas story is all about God's plan to save people from their sins. Jesus, it is he, it says, will save people from their sins. Let's continue on. Verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. That's the one that we read earlier. So the Christmas story, it's all about how God, your Heavenly Father, wants to be with you, and it's through his only Son, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. Emmanuel, God with us. It's a good reminder, folks. So this season, yes, we're going to give presents. You might, if you got kids like us, like, oh, like our kids are sneaking in the room every time they see mommy and daddy talking. Yesterday, probably about five times, I see my little Christina. Right? And me and mommy started playing around. Yeah, blah, 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 Christina. Or they think we're mentioning what their presents are going to be. I'll tell you, we already got them some stuff. While we give presents, while we might do those kinds of things, let's remember the reason for the season, so to speak. Yes, it is about Christ in Christmas. And it's not necessarily about us giving presents, but about you receiving the best present. And what is that? That's where the Heavenly Father loves you, and because of his love for you, he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. And the one that would be the only one that can, as it says, save you from your sins. And that is how you can have God with you and how we have God with us. It's not on your own. It's not the good works that you and I can do, nor anybody else. It's only the good works of salvation that Jesus did as he died on the cross, paying for not just my sins, but your sins. And I believe the sins of the world. Amen? He left heaven. Yes, it was controversial. But as Paul wrote, God was manifested in the flesh. Again, that's what you and I call Christmas. Justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles. Hey folks, even here in New York City. Believed on in the world, received up in glory. And my hope and prayer is that you would remember this Christmas season. I'm going to keep this brief, keep it short. And I'm going to close with prayer. And then maybe someone here wants prayer. I'm not sure. We want to love you and pray for you. But remember that the Christmas season isn't just about giving gifts, but really receiving the greatest gift, and that's salvation through Jesus Messiah. Amen. Because he and he alone is the one, just like the angel told Joseph, he will save his people from their sins. Folks, today, Jesus is still preached among the Gentiles. Some of you will gather with other Gentiles this week. On Saturday even. Preach him. Paul writes, him we preach. Speaking of Jesus. Him we preach. Preach Jesus Messiah. You're going to gather and people are going to be talking about all these mandates and all this other stuff. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of done with that for about 2 years. That's all we've pretty much been hearing. It's not that we need to not hear those things, but in the world, you typically only hear bad news. But with God through Jesus Christ, you and I hear good news. That's gospel. Gospel means good news. The good news of salvation through Jesus Messiah. And it's Him we preach. I want you to preach Him. Receive Him as Savior. I believe most, if not all of you have. Remember that as you gather with your relatives, as you share with others, people are going to be talking about mandates, all this kind of stuff, gifts. Oh, what do I do? Share with people so they can receive the greatest gift, and that's salvation through Jesus. It's Him we preach, and He's the one that we need to remember to share with others. Amen? Amen. I'm going to close with a word of prayer. And if someone's here and you want prayer for anything, whatever it is, before you leave, just want to make sure that we can pray for you. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for this thing that Paul writes about. He says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. That is a, yes, controversial thing. It's a mysterious thing. But we have faith to believe that, Father, you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus, the Christ. And he had to be birthed here through a virgin so he could be sin-free. And he had to live a life without sin and fulfill the law, because we could not. We could just break your law. It's all we do. But we thank you for Jesus being our great high priest and also our final and only sin sacrifice that you will accept. And Father, I believe there are many preachers in here, many people that need to proclaim the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would empower them mightily by your Spirit. Oh, Lord, we cry out to you. Please, God, please empower each of us. We're going to have awesome open doors and opportunities this time of year, especially, God, to be able to connect with people that we normally wouldn't, perhaps. Use this time in our lives, God, that we would be able to preach Jesus the Christ, that we could stir up conversation, not just the bad news that we all hear in the world, and everybody's wanting to talk about the bad news, but God, get us to talk about the good news. Get us to pour out to others, Lord. We pray for your empowerment in our lives that we could do so. Anoint us, God, to be preachers of your word of truth. Oh, Lord, so as we gather today to honor and celebrate what we call Christmas, this controversial, mysterious thing where God was manifested in the flesh, we ask, Lord, that you would please empower us. I don't want anybody to leave here, God, thinking they can't be empowered. You can empower each and every one of us, Father, to do that. Please, Lord. Just like others loved us enough to share the good news of salvation, use us to share with others as well. Please do empower us. For we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.